Amen. Thank you, Cross Culture. You may be seated. It is definitely an honor to be here. I'm going to try to contain my Kojic roots. You know, I'm get loud and tear up y'all's equipment. I ain't going to do it. Amen. But, you know, our roots go back, you know, of course, before the foundations of the earth. That's how far we really go back in the eyesight of God. And I count it a privilege and an honor. God has always blessed me with good people in my to be leaders over me. Real, sincere, down to earth, salt of the earth people. I can't run into anyone in the city of Atlanta that doesn't know you and have a good thing to say about you and Elder Francine. I mean, people are like, oh, yeah, I know them. Yeah, I know them. You know, they're some good people. I said, yes, they are. So thank you for having us. Amen. And I want to thank God for CCC. Happy birthday, y'all. Amen. Amen. Congratulations on 38 wonderful years of ministry. That ain't no easy task. Amen. And then you guys are, like I said, you're blessed to be yet holding up the mantle. Well, many have fallen to the wayside, and it's easy to fall to the wayside these days. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for my folks that came and supported me from The Rock. And that's my friend Benita Howell back there. Amen. Amen. So I won't hold you long. I know some of y'all, you know, you're a little tired. Amen. Got to go to work tomorrow. Amen. I want to thank God. This topic is, you know, it's a lot bigger than I originally thought when I looked at it, the year of cross culture. And I think that's just not just prophetic for this local body. And, you know, any of us who have read any, you know, not, you know, the Bible, know that it's in the intention of God not for us to be a stagnant, boring church. Amen. That is not the cloth by which we are cut. Amen. And we need to represent that like this church does worldwide. And I thank God for this church because you guys are ahead of the game. But I also noticed that in the Bible that, you know, well, Pastor Walker walks in a prophetic anointing. And he doesn't do it in the way that is typically done. You know, he doesn't say, thus saith the Lord God. You know, and if you're not careful, you may not catch just how big, you know, I know y'all know, you know what I'm saying? But he has been called to the world. Amen. And so he speaks, the prophetic utterances are for the church, not just for CCC. And when God sends a man of God or a woman of God to prophesy, he's just really forewarning. I'm not going to start off on a bad note, but just a sober note. And what I notice in the Bible is that when God is calling us to go, he always will send a preacher or a prophet or whatever to tell us, you know, and sometimes we don't take it as seriously as we should. But what I notice is that whenever God causes us to go into cross cultures or to have, you know, interact with people who are different, that's an assignment, but it always is on. Right before that is like persecution. Because he will not tolerate from his own people, from the Hebrews, in no one sense will he tolerate a church that is inside the walls. Do you all remember when Jesus talked to Peter and he said, Peter, who do men say that I am? What you need to understand about that scripture is when he spoke that, he himself and the disciples were in a cross-cultured environment. They were Hebrew, right? And they were in a Greek, you know, culture. They had to deal with the Greek culture. So when he said, who do men, he's talking about all men. Because, you know, we experience that today. We see how people have different ideas of who Jesus is. You know, so Jesus wanted to know who they're saying I am. And they said, some say you're Elijah, some say. He said, but who do you say that I am? Because you are the ones that I reveal myself to. That's very important. And you are the ones, not just that I reveal myself to and just be happy about that, but you are the ones to go and tell. And then Peter got a revelation from the Father and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus rejoiced and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That ain't something that you could just get. That's something that God has to show you. He said, thou art Peter. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, now here's the point that I want to make. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Then he said, and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, if you look at that, you realize that gates are not offensive weapons. Okay? Gates are defensive weapons. And so many times I hear that preached, and it's not really preached appropriately because it's got the church to the place where we are always defending ourselves against the enemy. And it's got us stuck. We're so stuck in trying to defend ourselves against the enemy that we feel burdened when we take on our real resume, and that is to go, therefore. I love that part in the film that said, go. And if I had, you know, the gentleman asked me what my topic was, I should have said, go. Amen. Go to all the nations. See, it was never Jesus's intention for us to be on the defense, but to be on the offense. Ever progressing. Ever changing lives. Ever going. Amen. So thank God that this pastor is right where he needs to be with that. So the scripture that I chose to focus on is in Acts, because that is a bunch of going in Acts. Amen. And it's one of Paul's missionary journeys. And he himself is suffering persecution. Remember I said sometimes we got to suffer persecution. And I hope that it's not going to be that bad. But we are already there. We're already there. We have subcultures in our church now that are trying to dictate to us what we preach and teach. Amen? So we understand that the theme of cross culture is very important. So let's just look at what Paul, how he handled his cross-cultured experience. Amen. Let's look at Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 22. And I'll go probably to the 30th verse. It says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. Now, what you worship is something unknown. I'm going to proclaim to you. If you go back up to the 16th verse, you'll see where the scripture says Paul was waiting for them. He's talking about Silas and Timothy, who had been withheld, held back, and he went on ahead to Athens. It says he was waiting for them in Athens. Then he says, as he was sitting among the people that weren't like him, and didn't think like them, and they didn't worship like them, they didn't dress like him, he says that he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So Paul is like us. Sometimes we see things that our flesh can't hardly deal with. I remember praying to God and asking God for insight in how to minister effectively to the LGBTQ people, because I wanted to make sure I got that one right, because I know Jesus. Amen. Because you know how we vacillate, want to use the word, but then there are people. And so Paul gives you some insight into what God told me. And our first point coming from this particular part of the scripture is our mission is to accept but not always agree. And one of the things that God told me when we're trying to deal with other cultures or the people who believe differently or doing things differently is that agreement and acceptance is two different things. Amen, somebody. And so I said, Lord, how is that going to be kind of hard? It's a fine line to kind of work that. And he said, you know, they that win souls is wise. And the same way I had to interact with you, Tracy, I accepted you, but it doesn't mean that I agreed with everything that you did. And so Paul showed us how it's done. Paul found, even though he despised the idols, he was able to find, and what God told me to do with the people that I receive into my ministry is find common ground. Paul looked around and said, I can't relate to none of this stuff y'all doing, but there's one thing that I can relate to. You, and he built upon that particular insight. So the Lord spoke to me and said, there is the common ground between you and your gay member. I said, okay, what is it? He said, they sin and so do you. They need me and so do you. They love me and so do you. Amen, somebody. That is called common ground. One of the things that I noticed too, a pastor, is that when I got an opportunity to travel a couple of years ago to South Africa, and that was an awesome experience because, and by way of Turkey, matter of fact, we went to the Turkish airport 2 days after it got bombed. So you know I had to be walking. I was like, Lord, he was like, get on that plane, girl. You're going to have to walk by faith. But when I got there, I was amazed at the different hues of people and the different colors of people and how people look so different. And I even talked to an Indian woman who had hair like mine. That blew my mind. And she was talking and interacting with me with the same swag as the sisters in the States. I'm looking at her like, I feel like I know you. She said, you do. She said, we are one and the same. One of the things that I realized, and then I went to the Turkish airport thinking it was going to be all bombed and, you know, horrible. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. And was able to sit down at Popeye's. I said, they got a Popeye's? There's some places in Georgia don't have no Popeye's. What the enemy does not want you to know is that there's more in common with people of different colors and races and hues and even religions. One God, one faith, one baptism. Amen. So then Paul goes on in verse 24. He says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands. And if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. He said, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Amen. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So Paul takes that one common ground, but he does not dilute or relegate God and put him in the midst of other gods. That's why Paul and we need to pray and ask the saints of God and our friends to pray for us when we are dealing with people who don't think like us. Because sometimes there is a tendency to lessen God so that you can get along. That's not a good thing to do. Amen. So our second thing, our first is our mission is to accept, but not always agree. Our second mission is to cross cultures, not cross gods. You understand? I remember going into, you know, I have culture groups, and I remember sitting in a meeting that we had, and the mothers were up talking. They had some of the international mothers over, and one of the things that one of the mothers, I can't remember what country that she was in, she had a problem with all of our dress codes. Because all that dress code stuff made sense in rural Georgia. We were in Macon. But it fell apart where she was being called out and to deal with people that did not interact or think that way that she did, but they love God. When you are trying to interact with other cultures, you must know the difference between that which is culture and that which is a spiritual principle. I used to have a professor at Beulah Heights Bible College called Cecil Murphy, and he had wrote a book that said that was entitled Culture Shapes Theology. And you have to be careful about that. The Matthew 28 tells us to go and baptize and make disciples of a nation. It didn't say go and make everybody American. And so what she was able to receive, she stood up and she said, listen, y'all, I'm having a problem with this. These people are coming in droves. Their hearts are open towards God. They love God, but their dress is very much Brazilian. And she said, I have a problem with telling them something about that because I have a problem with that. See, that's where our culture fell short. And this older lady was able to understand that. This had nothing to do. Their dress had nothing to do with the circumcision of their heart. And when you are called to minister to other people, you're going to have to recognize that there are some things that you've been taught that are cultural, that have nothing to do with spiritual principles. Within how you're going to do that, you're going to read your Bible, and you're going to come to church, and you're going to ask your man of God, because he and his first lady, they travel. I remember traveling with my friend. It was my first time going really, really, really far. And she told us, she said, listen, now don't let nobody know you're American over here. I said, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Americans want special privileges. We want to change everything. I remember they had this little thing in the airport that said, do not take this buggy to this level. We were sitting there trying to figure out how we can take the buggy to the next level. And then we walked to call the supervisor and the manager, and she was over there looking at us like this. Stop. Amen, amen. So our mission... And the way that you can do that is that you need to know the difference between what's cultural and what's a spiritual principle. And then you must also refrain from what's called syncretism. That means, you know, trying to make everybody on the same level. Amen. Our God is God, and that's what Paul was saying. Now, I want to get along with you, but I'm not going to dilute whom I serve. He said, the God that these gods that you all are serving, our God is the one that created you. And y'all created those gods. That's basically what he's saying. Amen. And then our final point. He says, verse 29, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, listen to this part. I love this. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. In the past. And this was 2,000 years ago in the past. God overlooked ignorance. But now the Son has come. Now you are accountable. Amen, somebody. And that's your job description. Are you strong enough to make that stance that Paul made? And he's on the run. Everywhere he goes, somebody is coming right behind him to kind of mess his stuff up. His life is not perfect. His bills are just not, everything is not perfect. But yet he's going and doing what God would have him to do. And he is praying to people, saying, make sure that I'm strong enough that I won't be able to dilute, that I won't dilute what God is saying to me. Amen? So let us not put God with, I have conversations with people a lot of times some people say, well, you know what? I believe in Jesus. You're like, oh, okay, what do you believe? Well, I believe he was a good man, and I believe that he did great things and everything. Do you believe he's God? They're like, nah. What do you don't believe? You're not really believing. And so it's up to me to represent, because that person doesn't know. God is not looking for that person to say nothing. I'm the one that's supposed to say, you got that wrong, even if I risk the relationship. Amen. The third point, as we see, he says, God looked at ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere. All people everywhere to repent. All people everywhere. When we do things with people and we go to Africa or other place that God will bless you to go, always know that you're on assignment. Now, that's not to beat people over the head with the Bible. That's inappropriate. You can go and you can enjoy yourself, but God will make sure that somebody that does not know him will run into you because you know him. And you cannot be afraid. Because a lot of times we want to talk to everybody about the blessings of God and we leave off. God has called us all to repent. Africans. Hey, everybody. It's not just I'm just coming over here to enjoy your food. Although the food is good, amen. So our third mission is what we do at The Rock. Our mission is to win the lost at any cost. One of the things that I admired so much about Billy Graham, that man went all over the world. But his message never changed. I was amazed at what Billy Graham was able to accomplish with the simplicity of the gospel. I have seen that man on a Today Show. I saw him on Larry King Live. I saw him all over the world. And when I tell you that man stuck to the script, he preached a message that Jesus saves a sinner and you are a sinner and you must repent. No, he didn't care who you were. You could be a president. And they say, you really believe in God? He'd be like, yeah, I really do. You really believe he saved souls? Yes, I guess he saved mine. Then he would turn around and say, you know, everybody needs to be saved. And he had that kind of strength. So Cross Culture, be thanking God that you're in this church and that you're getting it firsthand from a man that understands the real assignment. Amen. Amen. I'm finished.